When you think of the second coming of Christ, what do you think of? What visions or what comes to your mind when you consider the second coming of Christ? How it will look, all these sorts of things. Well, today in this day and age, there are a ton of theories out there. I mean, honestly, I've gotten in discussions with folks before concerning, the return of Christ, and some of the things that they've said just kind of make me look like that little girl that used to be part of the meme back a few years ago, where you just, you're like, what? Where did you get that from? And I've even asked at times, I'm like, well, where did you get this particular theology from? And I most of the time I'll get, well, so and so said this, so and so said that. Well, we're not concerned about what so and so says. We're concerned about what the Word of God, which is our authority, says. So we're going to take a peek at that today as we continue our series, Understanding the Second Coming, the Hope of His Return. Grab your Bible, turn it over to Acts chapter 1, and I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, we're glad you're joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your week has gone well and that the rest of your week is going to be a blessing, not only to you, but to others as well. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at some biblical thoughts concerning the second coming as we continue our series of understanding the second coming, the hope in his return. But today, we're going to gather and reflect on the nature of Christ's return as it's described in Acts chapter 1. We're specifically going to be dealing with verses 1 through 9. Now, this passage reminds us of the promise of his glorious return and the hope that we have in his second coming. So let's take a deeper look and let's see the significance of this event and how it should impact our lives as believers. So if you have your Bible, I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1. We're specifically going to be dealing with verses 9 through 11 today. So would you follow along with me as we read this text? Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. It says, "Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you now. We're grateful and thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful that there are a lot of things that we just don't have to guess about. You have told us outright in your word. So today, Lord, I pray that you will help us as we consider your return, your imminent return that appears by all the prophetical signs to be very, very close in our time. Lord, I just pray that you will lead us and guide us. May your word spring forth hope within us. Lord, may you bring life within us. And Lord, may we truly be those who anxiously look for and await the time when you will call us out to be with you. So Lord, bless our time. Speak to our hearts. May the Holy Spirit's prevalence be found in each listener today. And then Lord, may you give me the grace, the strength, and the words to be your mouthpiece today to your people. Father, I am nothing and no one without you. So we just ask, Lord, that you would bless this time as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so yeah, there you have it. There are a couple things we want to look at in this particular passage today. But as you can tell, there's something very interesting about this passage. And I tried to kind of highlight it as I was reading the verse. But remember what the two angels said in this particular verse. It said, "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So, I mean, you got to get that picture in your mind. What was it that his disciples saw when it came down to his ascension? And that's often what it's termed or preached about, his ascension back into heaven. I mean, it was like he was lifted up. They saw him go up into the air and essentially disappear into a cloud. And then we hear the words, "This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven." Okay, very good. Now, there's a couple things I want us to see. One of the things I want us to see out of our text today is that this, will be a visible return. See, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples watched as he was taken up in a cloud. Just as they saw him ascend, we are told that he will return in the same way. His return will not be hidden. It won't be subtle, but it is going to be very, very visible to all. Now, this serves as a reminder of his power and his majesty and the need for us to be prepared for his coming. Now, I want to highlight something that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago along the way in our series. I don't want us to get, you know, too technical about this, but the next great event that we're looking for is what is called the rapture. Now, you need to understand that when the rapture occurs, and some of you may or may not have heard that word. Essentially, what that is when, according to the Word of God, the trumpet will sound. Essentially, time will be no more. It says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those of us who are left will be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. And that's a key term. Caught up together to meet them in the clouds. At this particular time, Jesus is not going to set foot on the earth. Now, people say, well, so what's happening in the next succession? Well, that is called essentially, or what we term the rapture. After the rapture, we'll begin the 7 years of tribulation here on the earth. Okay, we won't get into that. That's a Revelation study. But there'll be 7 years of tribulation here on earth. Then it will be followed by the 1,000-year millennial reign on earth. At that point is what, in terms of biblical scholars, is the definition of the second coming. That is when the Lord, as well as us, come back and set foot on earth. Well, that will be essentially, that won't be until 7 years after the rapture being when he calls us out to be together with him in the air. And I hope that makes sense. I hope that's not confusing you. But I mentioned before that often we will use that term second coming, you know, and we do it. And often we know what we're talking about, but we sit back and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't wait for the second coming of the Lord. We're really referring to the rapture when he calls us out rather than the second coming proper. But I just want you to have that thought in your heart and in your mind that when we're talking about the second coming on earth, most of the time we're referring to the rapture when, you know, the dead in Christ rise, we're caught up together to be with him in the air prior to the 7 year tribulation period. So hope that doesn't confuse you, but you got to realize that there's a difference between the rapture and the second coming as is termed properly. The second coming is 7 years after the rapture. So that's just something I want you to kind of keep in the back of your mind. So in our text today, what we're seeing is that this was there's going to be a visible return. Remember what the angels said. They said, you know, the Lord, they said, why are you standing there gazing into heaven? You know, the Lord whom you saw taken away will return. And it says this in the same manner. So that means it's going to be something that we're going to be able to see. I think that's incredibly important as we can consider these particular times. The second thing I want us to see is that this is going to be a glorious return. You see, the angels who appeared to the disciples after Jesus' ascension spoke of his return in glory. Now, this reminds us that when Christ comes again, it will be in all his splendor and all his majesty. We can look forward to a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And this should fill us with awe. It should fill us with reverence for his coming. Now, I know that, I wish that I could sit back and say that my thoughts are always the ones that the Lord would want. But, you know, in conversations before, I have seen people who have blasphemed the Lord, who have talked out about the Lord, who have called many, many different things. Actually, you know, our church, back about 2 months ago was called a cult by somebody, you know, online, which obviously it's not. But yet, what happens is, you know, when we consider all these different things that are going on, you know, sometimes when those arguments happen, yeah, I remember that verse. I don't know whether it's just the Spirit puts it in my heart, the verse that says, you know, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, the human part of us, or the old nature part of us, wants to be right there to see that happen. We want to be there when they have to bow their knee and they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we kind of want to sit back and go, see, I told you, if you would have just listened, then you wouldn't be in the position that you're in right now. Let's just say it in that regard. But one day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in as we think about that, as we consider that, man, I don't know about you, but that fills me with awe, and it fills me with reverence for His coming. It gives me something to look forward to every day of my life, to be able to get up and say, you know what, today could be the day. Today could be the day that we hear the trumpet, that we're caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and to forever be with Him at that point. Those are the things that we need to hang on to as believers, particularly as the world erodes and it gets worse and worse as time continues to tick on. Okay, a third thing that we can see in this particular text today is that you and I need to be living in expectation. All right, if you're numbering things, that's number three. We need to be living in expectation. As we await Christ's return, we're called to live to live in expectation as well as anticipation. Some of them 50 cent words I'm throwing at you today, but this means living a life of faithfulness. It means living a life of obedience, and it means knowing that He could come at any moment. And I pray that we're not caught off guard, but that we're vigilant and that we're prepared for the time when He comes again. there's an illustration that I like to use around our church that I have been caught at times before. If you're like I am, if there's something that you're having to wait on or look for or whatever, there's going to be that moment when you're distracted just for a moment, and then it's going to happen. I always like to use this this experience, but like when there's inclement weather. Now, obviously, that's not going to be the case in the middle of the summer, but when there's times in the wintertime of inclement weather, and if we ever had to make a change to our service schedules at the church, we could call the news station, and we had these codes that you would put in, and you could actually change your times or cancel or whatever it is that you wanted to do. So what would happen would be, we would make that call if we were saying maybe changing the time. So instead of at 8:30, we're moving it to 2 o'clock p.m. And I put it in there, and then all of a sudden what happens is I'm watching the news to make sure that it's going to come across, to make sure that people are going to see it and know it. And these are in alphabetical order. This should be easy. The A's, B's, C's, they go through them. Central Baptist is a C, so it's pretty close, and it should come after the B's. So I'll be sitting there watching, and it'll be in the B's. They'll be rolling, scrolling through the businesses and churches that begin with B, and then all of a sudden it'll trip over to the C's, and something will happen. The phone will ring. Something will fall. Jana will holler at me and need something or whatever. And just for the split second that I look over this way, when I come back, they're already past the CEs, as in Central, C-E-N-T-R. They're past it. And just that quick, I missed what I was sitting there looking for. It's like a bus stop. You're sitting there and you're waiting for a bus. It seems like forever. And you're like, hey, there's a coffee stand right over there. I want to go get a quick cup of coffee. Shouldn't take but just a second. You go over there, you get your coffee, you come back, the bus is come and gone without you. If you're like I am, you're chuckling right now because those are the things that happen. So, are we living in expectation and anticipation of His return? Now, oftentimes people would say, well, what do you mean? Well, what's the Holy Spirit telling you in your life? Are you prepared that if you had to stand toe-to-toe with our Savior today and look Him in the face, would you be able to stand there without blame? Now, listen, folks, I get it. I know none of us are perfect and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we should strive. The Holy Spirit convicts our heart actually before wrongdoing, but it also convicts our heart after wrongdoing because we need to repent. Repent means to turn away. And be forgiven by our Lord. How much baggage are we carrying around? If you stood toe-to-toe with Jesus today, He knows it. You're not going to fool Him. You can fool preachers, you can fool teachers and deacons and parents or whoever you want, but you will never, ever fool God Almighty. He knows what's in the heart. He knows your actions, your activities, because as a believer, you've carried him into those particular things. So let me just put it this way. If before the end of this broadcast, the trumpet sounded and the Lord called us out to be with him, would you be ready? Or are there things in your life that you sit back and say, listen, I need to get my house in order? And that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We've read that in God's word many times. We need to have our house in order. We need to be ready to stand before the master this very moment, if it should take place or if it should happen. So my question for you is, are you ready for that? Now, if you're not, the Holy Spirit's already spoken to your heart. I just said before, I'm an instrument in the hands of the Father. I am not the Holy Spirit. I am not your moral compass, your moral judge, but the Holy Spirit certainly is, and he is using God's word in your life right now in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I hope and pray that you can say, yes, I am ready, that if the trumpet sounded in the next few seconds, that I would feel okay about standing in the presence of the Father. Because if not, there are probably some things like unconfessed sins, many other things that the Lord may be putting on your heart that you need to get in order so that their house is in order before he comes. All right, listen, let's not be caught off guard, but let's be vigilant and let's be prepared. Let's consider the awesomeness of his coming, and let's expect it, and not only expect it, let's anticipate it, and let's live in such a manner that we realize that it can happen at any moment now. Okay, the fourth thing I want us to see out of our text today is that there's encouragement and motivation. The promise of Christ's return should serve as a source of encouragement and motivation for us as believers. See, it reminds us that this world is not our final home and that our true citizenship is in heaven. I believe it might have even just been a few weeks ago that one of the illustrations that I heard one time when I was a younger pastor, and it always just stuck with me because it hit home in a way I could understand. I still remember this pastor talking about the fact that he had to do a lot of travel. He would speak in a lot of different places, and he would very often find himself, you know, having to stay in hotels. And I still remember what he said. He said, I could go into that hotel room. He said, I could rearrange the furniture. Of course, you probably can't do that now because most of it's like either screwed to the wall or the floor. But back in the day, he said, I could rearrange that hotel room any way I wanted to. He said, I could completely turn it around from what they had it. But he said, no matter how I rearrange the furniture, it's not home. And you know what he said? This life that we're living here on earth is like the hotel room. He said, this is not our home. You know, our home, our final destination is in the place called heaven. So as we consider our scripture text today, it should remind us that this world is not our final home and that our true citizenship is in the place called heaven. And in doing so, as we ponder these things, let us live yet with a sense of urgency, you know, sharing the gospel and making disciples, knowing that the time is short. Wow, that ought to be in the Bible. Well, it is. You know, are we redeeming the time? Is there an urgency about us? Are your family members, let me ask this question, are all of your family members truly saved? Do you know without any shadow of a doubt that if they closed their eyes on this earth, they would open them in the presence of God? You know, there's a lot of folks that I deal with that don't know that about their immediate family. And they'll come to me and they'll say, well, you know, I really love them. I want to see them in the kingdom of heaven. And I'm like, you know what? That is a testimony within itself. Go tell them about Jesus. Go tell them what you just told me. Tell them that you love them so much that you don't want to see them suffer an eternity in hell. Present the gospel message to them. I always tell them this. I said, they'll listen to you before they'll listen to me. Yeah. Now, not that I'm trying to get out of doing any work. I mean, I would certainly be more than happy, and I do so very often, go to share the gospel with somebody who they just feel, I don't know whether it's intimidated or whatever else, sometimes with very good success, sometimes with not so good success, earthly success, that is. But listen, it's always a success when you're being obedient to what the Lord calls you and tells you to do. Okay. So as we look at this particular text today, we got this picture in our mind of the disciples and they see, you know, Jesus ushered up into heaven. The angels come to him and say, look, why are you just standing there looking? It's time to be about the master's business, just like he told you, just like he taught you. He said, the same Lord that you saw will return in a like manner. So how did they see him go? They saw him go up physically. All right, you see him come down, you know, physically. Okay, so to me, that is the best example there is because it comes out of the Word of God. It's not this is what, you know, Pastor so and so said, or that's what Teacher so and so said. That's what the Word of God in Acts chapter 1 says. So I can almost guarantee you that you can take that to the bank as being what's true, right, and proper. Okay, so as we consider these things today, as we think about these points that we have pondered during our time, you know, we need to reflect on the reality of Christ's return and how it should impact our lives in on a daily basis. And I think what happens is that particularly with Christian people, we've gotten in a rut. We've gotten in a cycle. And we sit back and we say, well, yeah, I believe that the Lord's coming back, not really looking for it because it's been thousands of years. And basically, folks, we're not ready. If it were to happen right now, many would be caught off guard because we're not looking towards his coming to call us out of here, okay? So have you taken the time? And I would say you need to do it daily and reflect on the reality that Christ is going to return or call us out, and how is it going to impact my life every day? When you get up and put your feet on the floor, you can say, Lord, this is the day that you have given me. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And because I'm here, I've got purpose. What is it that you want me to do? Well, you know, help me, Lord, to be, you know, astute. Help me, Lord, to have vision around me today, to be aware of my surroundings, my spiritual surroundings, to see how you want to use me today, how you want to bless me, or how you want to use me to be a blessing to others. So how's that going to impact your life on a daily basis, not just every now and then when you think about it? You know, as you're out and about, you need to share the hope of his coming with other people, and you need to invite them to join in on the anticipation. You know, once a believer, you're like, hey, look, man, I can't wait. Now, it's funny that sometimes when I'm talking to younger people, they're like, yeah, I really want the Lord to come back, but I want him to wait until after I get married. Or I want him to, I can still remember, it was a young man. He said, you know, he said, I really want the Lord to come back, but I'd rather him wait until after I get my driver's license, because that was one of the big things in his life. And we chuckle with that sense of anticipation. But you know what? Are we looking for his return? You know, are we living with a sense of purpose? Are we living with a sense of mission, knowing that we are called to be faithful stewards of his kingdom? That's plain and simple. So you know what? As the Holy Spirit has given you the litmus test today, as you've heard these things, the Holy Spirit has tagged some things in your life that you're not there yet. You know, you need to work on these particular areas. Well, I pray that God's going to give you the courage to begin that journey today, okay? So as we meditate, you know, on the nature of Christ's return, you know, our prayer is that we be filled with hope and with expectation. This time I didn't just say anticipation, I said expectation. We are expecting him to come back, and we are looking for his return. So we need to live with a sense of urgency and purpose, knowing that he will come again in all of his glory, and may we be found faithful and ready for his return, eagerly awaiting the day that we will be united with him forever. I hope and trust and pray that that is your prayer, and that is your hope as you go forward each and every day. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, I pray that as we search our hearts, I pray that we would truly see what the Holy Spirit has spoken in our hearts and lives today. Lord, I pray that where correction is needed, that you would not only show us where that is, but Lord, that you would guide us and that you would point us in the direction of repentance, that you would point us in the direction of coming back into fellowship with you, and that, Lord, you truly would have us anxiously and excitedly awaiting the time that you will call us into your presence. So, Father, be with each and every one of us. Help us along our journey this week. And as we always say, Father, give us strength for the journey. And Lord, may each and everything we do magnify you. May each and everything we do be a blessing for your presence. May we represent you well. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, folks. Well, I just wanted to let you know what we're going to be looking at as far as Bible readings for this week and what we're going to be going into next week. This week, I want you to spend a little bit of time in the book of Revelation chapter 20. That's Revelation chapter 20. And next week, we're going to be looking at the judgment day in reference to Revelation chapter 20, specifically verses 11 through 15. And what our prayer is that we will understand the implications of the second coming regarding judgment and the eternal destination of all humanity. So I hope and pray that you'll be read up and that you will join us as we will continue our sermon series that I've called Understanding the Second Coming of Christ, the Hope of His Return. We'll be looking at sermon number 4 next week. I hope, trust, and pray you'll be with us. Now, as always, I want to invite you that if you're in our area or you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come worship with us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. If you're familiar with the area, we're right across from the Oak Ridge Military Academy there on Highway 68. Our service times are, service time starts at 10:45 a.m., and we would certainly love to have you to be a part of that. Don't forget, we also have other discipleship opportunities throughout the week. We have men's small groups, women's small groups, and then during the school year, we've got Awana for the children. Just a bunch of ways for you to be able to get involved. We would certainly love to see you. If you do make it, please come introduce yourself. I would love to meet you, and I pray that I'll see you this coming Sunday. God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Thank you.